Welcome to our Bible study of the book of Revelation. Today is Thursday, November 16th, 2023. We'll be meeting here in the NLA Start Meeting Room every Wednesday and Thursday at 7:30 to 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. For those listening on YouTube or Rumble and would like to join us live or view our past studies and PDF study aids, you can go to nationallibertyalliance.org/Bible-study-revelation. Our study will be about 45 minutes and a 15-minute Q&A for questions, comments, or corrections. If no one raises their hand, we will continue the study for an additional 15 minutes. If you have any questions, please take a note of the book, chapter, and verse so that we can easily go back and find the verse in question. Okay, let us pray. Holy, gracious Heavenly Father, we pray that you continue your work in our hearts, giving us that desire to labor in the work that you have placed before each and every one of thy children. We pray for patience with those who resist thy word. We pray that you give us, through thy word, discernment. For thy word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we're going to pick up where we left off. We're entering chapter 3. Concerning a warning to the churches. I guess we'll start in verse 1 here, chapter 3, verse 1. And unto the angels or messenger of the church of Sardis, of course it looks like, of course it's the Holy Spirit, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy work, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain, that are ready to die. For I have not found thy work perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If, therefore, thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. And by the way, this word hour here is really a sort of a clue on a timing. Let's see what we have here real quickly on the word hour. Okay, the hour of judgment in the Great Tribulation. So it's a time clue. And maybe we'll read a couple of verses on this. We read in Revelation chapter 8, verse 9, "And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of a burning standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, Alas, alas, that great city, Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour is thy judgment come." And that 1 hour we're going to see as time goes on, it identifies with the hour of judgment. It is the hour that represents the great tribulation, a period of time. We read 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 17 and 18, "For the time has come that judgment must begin in the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear?" Revelation 3, we're not going to read that because we're going to be picking up on that in a few minutes, 3 verses 9 and 10 concerning the hour. Revelation 14, 6 and 7, "And I saw another messenger fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindreds and tongues and people, saying with a loud voice, Fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of judgment is come. And worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters." Luke 12:11, "And when they bring you into the synagogues and unto the magistrates and powers," and a matter of fact, Luke 12 is a chapter that I think half the chapter gives us more information, as we read also in Matthew 24, Luke 21, and Mark 13. "And when they bring you into the synagogues and unto the magistrates and the powers, take ye no thought how or what thing ye shall answer, or what ye shall say. For the Holy Ghost shall teach you in the same hour what ye ought to say, that hour of judgment. Matthew 25:13, watch therefore, for ye neither know the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Luke 12:39-40. And this know, that if the good man of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched, and not have suffered his house to be broken through. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not. Revelation 3, we're going to skip that one. And then there is the half hour. I know we puzzled with this for quite some time, and again, as I mentioned, God opens seals, and there's a different timing of different seals being opened, and we don't have that knowledge until those seals are opened. But in Revelation chapter 8, we read in verse 1, and when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of a half an hour. And I could tell you that if you go back into the study we spoke about in Luke, I mean not Luke, in Mark, which we have on our page, we have the study of Mark, and you listen to the study that was done, as I mentioned, back in late 70s, I believe it was, maybe 78, 79, somewhere around there. And there was a lot of knowledge we didn't have, but I know the teacher that's teaching this, he had brought up a lot of things that, you know, many, many people had missed. And so a lot of knowledge was already opening up. But he didn't understand as the half hour, and many of us didn't understand this half hour for quite some time. And we were searching the scriptures, trying to understand this silence in heaven about the space of a half an hour. We're going to get to that when we get to these verses. But it does relate to the portion of an hour, that the hour of judgment is divided in half. And remember, we read a verse that talked about, the days would be shortened. And unless those days should be shortened, you know, for the elect's sake, unless those days shouldn't be shortened, for there would be no flesh saved. And I know for a period of time we were thinking that salvation during this great tribulation was not going to be available. But we found many verses after that, and we started to see it from a different perspective, at least, some years back anyway. Revelation 11, and their dead bodies being silent from the gospel. The dead bodies is the carcasses. It's a dead church. Their dead bodies ultimately is identifying with the body of Christ that is laying dead in the sense that we're killed all the day long. And their dead bodies shall lie in the streets of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt. And of course, that's the apostate church, where also our Lord was crucified. And they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half. They've been silenced, and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put into graves. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry and shall send gifts one to another. Because these two prophets, remember this identifies with the body of Christ, number two is in view, tormented them that dwell upon on the earth because they brought a gospel that was not a gospel that was desired of them. They didn't want to hear about the preaching of hell. They didn't want to hear that they don't have a choice, and many, many other things. So after 3 days and a half, the Spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet to stand as to declare. They're declaring the gospel. And great fear fell upon them which saw them. And that's the period of time of the depart out, come out of from my people. We're going to tie that together as we get into the book of Revelation. So they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. Because they of course, brought back the fire now at this point. There's judgment upon that church. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. And the same hour was there a great earthquake, and the tenth part of the city fell. And in the earthquake were slain of men 7,000, and the remnant were affrighted and gave glory to the God of heaven. And fear is the beginning of wisdom and understanding, and the remnant identifies with the saved. So The declaration here, and again, we're going to get into these verses when we get into Revelation 11, because there's a lot to really take a look at and a lot of words we need to see how God uses to get a proper understanding of these verses. So anyway, this word hour, 1 hour and a half hour, is identifying with a period of time. And we're going to see how that kind of comes together. You know, the length of time comes from one point. But and is referred to as an hour or referred to as a half hour. And when we put it together, then we start to see, you know, the time clues that God has given us. But again, one thing we're not going to know is we're not going to know the day or the hour that the Lord returns. Nobody could know that. Okay, going back here to Revelation, back into chapter 3. okay, we read... And I will come unto thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Okay, and coming as a thief ultimately is seems to be identifying with the coming out of the church. But it also, I believe, also identifies with the Lord coming as a thief at the end of the world. I think we're going to see two pictures grow from that idea. But clearly, you know, the thief... coming at a point in time, and the people don't understand, and the body of Christ is removed, and they don't even realize it, because they've been sold into these damnable heresies. Okay, thou hast a few names even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments. And again, a garment is a covering. It identifies with the corporate church, and a corporate church that is not defiled in the sense of reflecting fleshly things, but bringing forth spiritual things, the light of the gospel. So they have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white. White is purity. For they are worthy. He that overcometh the same shall be clothed in white raiment. And I will not blot out their names out of the book of life. But I will confess his name before my Father and before the angels. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And we're going to see this picture of being clothed with white, how it identifies with the saints standing on the sea of glass in the book of Revelation. And they have harps in their hands, bringing forth the gospel into the world without a ship, without a corporate body. Warning to the church at Philadelphia. And to the angel of the messenger of the church in Philadelphia write these things, saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth and no man openeth. And we saw the key of David identifies with, of course, the gospel, the door, having the key to open the door of salvation for people to enter in through the preaching and teaching of the gospel. And by the hearing we respond. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, those bringing another Jesus, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to become and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee, because thou hast kept the word of my patience. I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation. And the idea of this hour of temptation, you know, is tempted by false gospels and not responding to them is, of course, the success of overtaking that temptation. And, of course, that hour of temptation will take all those that are deceived and bring them further into the deception. God will send them strong delusion. I think we read about that in 1 Thessalonians. So he says, I will keep thee from the hour of temptation. And remember, God does not tempt any man, but this really is leading them into the judgment for the things that they desire and not the things of God. But, you know, we are tried in the fire, you know, so, you know, as we respond and properly, you know, look into God's word to discover truth and respond to the truth and not to the lie. That, of course, strengthens up, and that is being tried through the fire, or part of being tried through the fire, of course. You know, the fact that we are in tribulation, in the world you'll have tribulation, that idea identifies with the rejection of the gospel and the rejection of the messenger bringing that gospel. Okay, so I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation. which shall come upon all the world to try them. There's that word try, to try them, that dwell upon the earth. And of course, the earth identifies with the corporate church. Behold, I will come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from God, from my God. And I will write upon thee my new name, which we know is the Word. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Okay, let's look a little bit at this word pillar. To be made a pillar, it's a structural post upon the foundation that carries the building. We read in Revelation 10, verse 1, and I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud. We're going to discover later on this is a picture of Christ. Called clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as the pillars of fire. So again, and we saw that earlier on, we saw the Son of Man with a picture of his feet as brass, as tried in the furnace. And again, the pillars of fire, bringing down judgment. We read in Galatians chapter 2, verse 9, and when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, this is Paul speaking, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathens, and they on to the circumcision. So again, this is an idea of, pillars identifying with structural posts holding up, upon the foundation, holding up the building. And remember, the body of Christ, through preaching the word of God, is working the stones, building up a temple for a dwelling place for the Lord. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. These things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou should know, mayest know, how thou ought to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of truth. Revelation 3, 10 through 13, we're not going to read because we'll be looking at that. In fact, we're reading it right now. So this word pillars, again, identifies with part of the construction of the body of Christ, part of the temple that is being built. The okidome, and and the word okidome is to edify, that's the building up, the building of the temple through edification, bringing forth the word of God. The temple of my God, I think we've looked at temple before. Yeah, we have. It's the body of Christ, the body of believers. So I'm not going to read through it again. We've already looked at that word. And what I might do is, as these word studies that I've been doing, as we go through them, I think maybe we'll start posting them so people can come back and refer to them as they read the Bible. And of course, if we find any error or anything that could be added onto these things, then we'll find correction and be added upon that. Okay, so a pillar in the temple of my God. Okay, then God talks about the New Jerusalem. And the New Jerusalem, of course, identifies with the eternal church in this case, the New Jerusalem. There are two cities. There's the corporate church or the true church. There's the bondmaid or the free woman. There's Jerusalem below or Jerusalem above. There's the harlot or there's the bride. One, of course, is Satan duplicating and bringing forth his false gospel. We read in... we'll go into Galatians chapter 4, verses 21 through 31. Tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do ye not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by the bondmaid, and the other by the free woman. He that was of the bondmaid woman was born after the flesh, fleshly things, but he after the free woman was born after the promise, for the spiritual things. Which things are an allegory. The whole Bible is an allegory. Every chapter we read, every verse we read, we can always find a spiritual picture. And usually we will find, of course, the gospel, woven through all of the chapters of the Bible. and we'll see the spiritual pictures. And, you know, remember, God tells us to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life. To be spiritually minded is to be able to see the things that God wants us to see, the mysteries that he reveals to us through his word. So, which things are an allegory? For these are the two covenants. The one from the Mount Sinai, which genereth to bondage, which is Agar. For this Agar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, Rejoice thou, barren, and bearest not. Break forth, and cry, thou that travailest not. For the desolate hath many more children than she which hath a husband. And, of course, the husband in view is Christ. And the bride, of course, is the body of Christ. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless, what saith the Scriptures? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. Isaiah chapter 3, verses 7 through 9. In that day shall he swear, saying, I will not be a healer, for in my house is neither bread nor clothing. Make me not a ruler of the people, for Jerusalem is ruined and Judah is falling, because their tongue and their doings are against the Lord. They're bringing a damnable heresy. Again, Judah being the fact, this idea of Jerusalem is in ruins and Judah is fallen identifies with a fallen church, because their tongues and their doings are against the Lord. To provoke the eyes of his glory. The show of their countenance doeth witness against them, and they declare their sin as Sodom. They hide it not. Woe unto their soul, for they have rewarded evil unto themselves. And we're familiar with this. We read this earlier in our study. We'll read it again, Matthew 23:37-38. And, of course, this is Old Testament Israel. And it gets repeated again. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets. And, you know, a prophet is someone who comes and declares the word of God. You know, we have the prophets of old, that holy men of old spake and wrote as God the Holy Spirit moved them. And it's the same thing today, men of God, the saints, the people of God, the body of Christ, speak as the Holy Spirit moves them. But what they're speaking, what they bring forth, is found in the Bible, the Word of God. We're going to see at the end of Revelation that man is not to add or take away anything in the words of this book. And if you take away words in any other of this, the Bible is made up of 66 books. But from God's perspective, it's one book. He is the author of the complete thing, Genesis to Revelation. And I've heard the argument before, well, you know, people are adding, but they're not adding to the book of Revelation. Well, if you add to the book of Revelation, you're adding to all the other books. Because we interpret Scripture, you know, line upon line, precept upon precept. We look at the spiritual things to understand the things of God. And when you add something, it changes and alters everything. Even things that are repeated. Sometimes I've heard, well, you know, people speak in these tongues and they claim to have an interpretation and they say a Bible verse. Well, they're still adding, even if the Bible verse is exactly like any other Bible verse, because it is, they're claiming that this is a word coming from God, then we have to, of course, add it to the Bible. But God tells us that there's nothing more to add. Now, maybe because, well, it's already in the Bible. Well, God is redundant sometimes. There are certain verses that he has repeated in the Bible. And that redundancy has a purpose and a meaning. And putting some more weight on something or a point that God is making. So if someone just takes another piece of Scripture and said, I get it from God, and now we have to add it to the Bible because they got a message from God that they're a prophet, Well, again, and it's putting a little extra weight on a particular verse, and it's adding to the Bible. No matter how you go about it, anybody who adds to this book or takes away from these books, the plagues written herein will be upon them. And that we're going to find in the last chapter of the Bible, the last few verses. So you can't add, tongues have ceased. When the Bible was complete, tongues ceased. Let's see where we'll pick up here. Well, we'll read a couple more verses here. Matthew 23:37-38. I don't think I read this. Oh, yeah, we did. Isaiah 64. Verses 10 and 11. Thy holy city are a wilderness. Zion is a wilderness. Jerusalem is a desolation. Our holy and our beautiful house, where our fathers praise thee, is burnt up with fire. And all our pleasant things are laid waste. Clearly, that's a picture of an apostate church. Clearly, it's a picture of ultimately what has happened to Jerusalem in the sense of Jerusalem, spiritual Jerusalem, back in the days when Christ left them desolate. But it's also a picture of any other church that has gone apostate throughout the New Testament era. And, of course, today it's a complete, it's a mega tribulation. It is worldwide. It is complete. Jeremiah 8, verse 5. Why then is this people of Jerusalem slidden back by a perpetual backsliding? They hold fast deceit. They refuse to return. Jeremiah 9, 11-14. And I will make Jerusalem heaps and a den of dragons, and I will make the cities of Judah desolate without an inhabitant. Who is the wise man that may understand this? And who is he to whom the mouth of the Lord hath spoken, that he may declare it? For what the land perisheth, and is burned up like a wilderness, that none passeth through. And the Lord said, because they have forsaken my law, which I have set before them, and they have not obeyed my voice, neither walked therein, but have walked after the imaginations of their own. Isaiah 4, 1-3. And in that day, seven women, now again, the number seven is the perfection of what God is speaking about. In this case, we're going to find out it's the harlots, seven women, seven harlots, shall take hold of one man, that one man is Christ, saying, we will eat our own bread, we will wear our own apparel, only let us be called by thy name, Christian, to take away our reproach. In that day shall the branch of the Lord be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the earth shall be excellent and comely for them that are escaped of Israel. And it shall come to pass that he that is left in Zion, and he that remaineth in Jerusalem, shall be called holy, even every one that is written among the living in Jerusalem. Now clearly, of course, that's Jerusalem above. But again, we've got Jerusalem below. We have a picture of the harlot. We have a picture of them desiring to have the name of Christ, to be called Christians. But they have their own bread. They don't have the bread of life. They don't have the bread, God's word, the bread of life. They'll wear their own apparel. They'll put forth another reflection and not the reflection of the scriptures. Only let us be called Christian. Revelation 21, verses 1-4. And I saw a new heaven. Of course, this is the end of the world and everything is gone and we have a new creation. I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea, and the sea identifies with the world. And I saw John saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself shall be with them, and they be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And of course, that's we read that at the end of Revelation, and that, of course, is going off into eternity, somewhat of a picture of eternity. Okay, I guess we'll read this one here in Revelation chapter 21, 9 and 11. 9 through 11. And there came unto me one of the seven messengers, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. All right, Jerusalem, the two cities. Okay. We'll pick up now in 14. And unto the angel of the messenger of the church of Laodiceans write, These things saith the Amen, the faithful, the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, and thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that you were cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will sprue thee out of my mouth. The word sprue is the word vomit. I will vomit thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich, and increaseth with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor in spirit and spiritually blind and naked. And that's a picture of no covering of sins. They're naked. This defines a lot of churches that I have seen over the years. Everybody seems, everything's fine. But as I've dug down into the foundation of that church, found out that they were building upon a false gospel, another Jesus, something else. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man hear my voice and open that door, I will come in unto him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me on my throne, even as I also overcome and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Okay, wanted to go back here and look at this lukewarm. We'll look at some verses in lukewarm. We read about a smoking flax a flax shall he not quench till he send forth judgment unto victory. We're going to read some verses on that. I don't know if people are familiar with that particular story or parable. Is the church bringing an indecisive gospel? Whereas the wax of a candle is lukewarm because its light has gone out, and it's a smoking flax. We read about these in Matthew 12, verse 14. Then the Pharisees went out and held counsel against him, and how they might destroy him. But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all, and charged them that they should not make him known. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Behold, my servant, whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not strive nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the cities, in the streets. A bruised reed shall he not break, and a smoking flax shall he not quench. And that's the picture. That smoking flax shall he not quench. That's that church that the light has gone out, but there's a sizzle there. There's still a slight, flame, and it's a smoking flax. Flax is that is the linen, actually. It's a piece of linen. We call it the wick that's in a candle. That's the flax. And it's smoking. So the light has gone out, but this is a smoking flax. He will not clench that. He'll allow that and permit that because, again, there's something that was there and there's something maybe still there, but he's going to sprue thee out of the mouth at some point till he send forth judgment unto victory. And his name shall the Gentiles trust. Okay, Revelation 3, we're looking at, we'll skip that. Matthew 5, 14, ye are the light of the world. A city that is on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And remember, we're reading, that's the warning to the seven churches. They're going to remove the candlestick. Again, as we saw, a candlestick itself represents the church, but the light of that candlestick, the fire that gives light onto, the city, that is the gospel. And God threatens to remove that candlestick, to put out that light, to take away that which was there, at least part of the gospel. And, we may come upon some verses where we see, and we may even have looked at some verses where it talks about the clothes spotted with the flesh. Sometimes the church puts more of a reflection out of being fleshly more than it does being spiritual. Let me back up a little bit. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Proverbs 20:27. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. And the belly identifies with being in the church, by the way. We're going to look more into that word when we get into Revelation, because that word comes up. Job chapter 18, verse 5. Yea, the light of the wicked shall be put out, and the spark of his fire shall not shine. The light shall be dark in his tabernacle, and his candle shall be put out with him. The steps of his strength shall be straightened, and his own counsel shall cast him down. For he is cast into a net by his own feet, and he walketh upon a snare. The jinn shall take him by the heel, and the robber shall prevail against him. The snare is laid for him in the ground, and a trap for him in the way. We've looked at this in Matthew 24, but I'm going to read it again. Matthew 24, verse 4, because this is the essence of the Great Tribulation. This is the nature of the Great Tribulation. It's false Christ and false prophets. Matthew 24, and which would deceive the very elect, if it were possible. That's rhetorical. It's not possible. Matthew 24, verse 4, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And we talked about this. It's exactly what's going on in the world right now. God is referring back into the nations. We see the kingdom of Satan rising up, bringing in all of these immoralities, especially in our nation, a nation that's supposed to be one nation under God. And the nation shall rise nation against nation. And we're seeing that. There shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in various places. And we saw the famines was a famine of hearing the word. The pestilence were the false prophets. And the earthquakes were the knocking down of all the stones, not left one stone upon another in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. That's leading into great tribulation. We're not yet there at this point, but it's starting to develop. And we were seeing this back in the 70s already. Anyway, so it's been for quite some time. The assault has been building upon the church over the years. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, silence you from bringing the gospel. And ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and they shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and they shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. That idea of waxing cold is a candle that is no longer lit. It's not even a smoking flax anymore. It's not even lukewarm. It's cold. The light's been out. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Okay. I'm sure we all, behold, I stand at the door. To stand is to declare the gospel being brought forth by the body of Christ. The door, of course, is Christ, and knocks, and if any man hears the voice, he opens the door, and he sups with God. Every time we read the Bible, we're feasting with God in his word. All right, before we enter into Revelation chapter 4, I want to do a recap of this and what we just read here to the seven churches, and a warning to the churches, some of the false gospels and false things that we spoke about some of that before already anyway. But I do want to recap this. Of course, this is the important part of what's happening in the Great Tribulation. So we'll pick up in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And the high places is the ruling body in the churches. That's the high places. It could also identify to some degree in the sense of government, especially in the United States, being a Christian nation built upon the foundation of the Bible. That's what we were built upon. So we can see it there too. Anyway, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. To stand is to be found declaring the true gospel. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. And, of course, the truth is the word of God. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Having on the breastplates of righteousness. Christ is our righteousness. And the breastplates, of course, is Christ that we have upon us. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel peace, to be walking in God's word and bringing God's word out. Above all, taking the shield of faith. Faith come from hearing, and hearing from the word of God. And that will, and wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet, the knowledge of your salvation, and the sword, which is the word of God, of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always, we should always be walking with God. And whenever our minds drift away, we should be reeling them back in, focusing in on Christ and all the things that we do, trying to do the right thing in whatever it is that might be placed before us. Praying always with all prayers and supplications in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So the warning to the churches, and Philadelphia, the Church of Philadelphia, when I first read through that, it didn't seem that that particular church was having a problem. But it was, because God warned them against the synagogues of Satan, they that say they are Jews and are not. And we also know that the Church of Philadelphia has gone apostate. They're no longer there. They're gone. They have fallen. So here are the warnings to the seven church. Ephesus, thou hast left thy first love. Samaria, they say are Jews and are not, but are the synagogues of Satan. Pergamos, eaten things sacrificed unto idols to commit spiritual fornication. Thyatira, teach and to seduce my servants to commit spiritual fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. Sardis, thou art dead. If thou shalt not watch, I will come unto thee as a thief. Philadelphia, them of the synagogues of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not. And remember, anybody who is born again is a Jew. We are not a Jew that is a Jew outwardly, where circumcision is that of the flesh. We are Jews that are Jews inwardly, where circumcision is that of the heart. We become Jews. We become Israelis. We become the children of God, which is the identifies with Israel. Israel is my son. That's what the Bible teaches us. Isaiah 1. Laodicea. I didn't think I read that one. Laodicea, thou art lukewarm, wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. They have no clue. They don't know. And there are so many churches out there, they never talk about hell. They never talk about repentance. They never talk about that we have to be mortifying the body, crucifying the flesh, suffering the ways that Christ suffered. He was crucified in the flesh, but we too have to crucify our flesh by crucifying, preventing and denying ourselves the desire of the flesh, the sins of the flesh, to keep our eyes single. If your eye offend thee, pluck it out. If thy hand offend thee, cut it off. That's what the Bible tells us. Of course, not literally. God's talking about keeping our eyes single. Instead of looking onto the flesh, look onto the spirit. You know, reaching forth for to eat off the tree of life, not the tree of the things of this world. Isaiah 1, verse 1. The vision of Isaiah, the son of Amos, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahazar, Hezekiah, king of Judah. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth. Okay, so hear, O heavens, you know, the word going out, you know, from off the pulpit or out of the mouth of anybody declaring the word into the world, and that it's going into the heavens in the sense that it's coming down upon them as rain, the water of the gospel. Hear, O heavens, give ear, O earth. The earth should be drinking this water in, hearing, given the ears to hear. For the Lord hath spoken, I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib, but Israel doeth not know, my people doeth not consider. Ah, a sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backwards. Why should ye be stricken any more? Ye will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick. The whole heart is faint. From the sole of the foot, even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mortified or mollified with ointment. Your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land strangers devoured in your presence. And it is desolate as overthrown by a stranger. And the daughter of Zion is left as a cottage in a village, as a lodge in a garden of cucumbers, as besieged city. Except the Lord of hosts had left unto us the very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom, and we should have been like one to Gomorrah. So that very small remnant is what had kept life and the focus and the bringing forth of the gospel. But it's that constant assault upon that gospel. It's a constant assault by false prophets and false teachers coming in to spy out our liberty and to set up a different gospel. And worship a different Jesus, another Jesus. Not that there is another Jesus, but one that appears to be a Jesus. Those bringing in heresies. Satan desires to be worshipped as God, to take a seat in the temple, to be seen as God, and to be worshipped as God. Going on to verse 10. Hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of our God, ye people of Gomorrah. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of burnt offerings of rams and of fat and fed beast, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of the lambs or of the goats. All those were a sign. When you come appear before me, who hath required this as your hand to tread upon my courts? Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons, the Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot. Away with it. It is iniquity. Even the solemn meetings, your new moons and your appointed feasts, my soul hateth. They are a trouble unto me. I am weary to bear them. And when you spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Wash you. Here's the gospel. Here's the call out. Come, wash you. Make yourself clean. Make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Verse 21. How is the faithful city become a harlot? It was full of judgment, righteousness lodged in it, but now murderers. Thy silver is become dross, polluted. Thy wine is mixed with water. Thy princes are rebellious and companions of thieves. Everyone loveth gifts and followeth after rewards. They judge not the fatherless, neither do they cause the widow to come unto them. Therefore saith the Lord of hosts, the mighty one of Israel, Ah, I will ease me of mine adversaries and avenge me of mine enemies. And I will turn my hand upon thee and purely purge away thy dross and take away all thy tin. And I will restore thy judges at the first, and thy counselors as at the beginning. Afterwards thou shalt be called the city of righteousness, the faithful city. Zion shall be redeemed with judgment. And that's exactly what the Great Tribulation is all about, the redeeming it with judgment, and her converts with righteousness. After the and the destruction of the transgressor and of the sinners shall be together. And they that, and that of course is the people within the church that are unsaved, and the people of the world that's living worldly, they will be, they will shall be judged together. They shall, and they that forsake the Lord shall be consumed, for they shall be ashamed of the oaks which ye have desired, and ye shall be confounded for the gardens that ye have chosen. For ye shall be as an oak whose leaf fadeth. It's not getting water. It's not getting sunlight. And as a garden that hath no water, and the strong shall be a tow, and the maker of it a spark. And the tow, that identifies with a flammable, like tar-like substance. You know, they put the tow on a ship, for instance. And again, but it's, and God speaks of this as a strong light, shall be as a tow, and the maker of it as a spark. And they shall both burn together, and none shall quench them. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, 1 through 12. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, nor be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that they shall not come, except there come a falling away first, the apostasy. And that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself all above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doeth already work, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all powers and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness and of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Okay, and I'm just going to read through this. These are some false doctrines. There are many others, but these are some of the big ones. Churches that believe Jesus is one way of many ways. Churches that have private interpretations. Churches that deny Jesus is God. Churches that deny the Bible is Bible's infallibility. Churches that deny the Trinity. Churches that deny hell or are silent upon it. Churches that deny the destruction of this sin-cursed earth. Churches that require a seventh-day worship. Churches that require a work to be saved. Churches that require water baptism or any other action to be saved. Churches that claim once saved, we sin no more in the flesh. Churches that claim all men will be saved. Churches that claim only they have a corner on the truth. Churches that claim only they have the Spirit. Churches that claim signs and wonders, miracles and visions. Churches that light upon another man and his teachings instead of Christ. Churches that have other sources of information other than the Bible. So that's a list of a lot of the major things that we've seen and continue to see in churches. And again, there are others. Okay, let's see what time it is here. It's coming up on the half hour. I don't know if anybody has anything they can raise their hand. On our next study, we're going to pick up in the book of Revelation chapter 4. And we're going to see an open door revealing around God's throne. Very interesting picture. And as I mentioned, as we go through this, Revelation is not in a chronological fashion or order. Not at all. It is dimensional, puzzle pieces. And once we get a puzzle piece and we examine that puzzle piece, then we want to puzzle, where do we make that fit in our minds and our thinking as we get a framework in order to see the big picture that God is trying to give us, that God will give to his children, the picture of Revelation, the mystery that God has set before us through his word. All right, anyway, we've come to the end of our study. I don't see any hands up, and we've come to just about 1 minute from an hour, so we're going to be closing down, so we'll see you. We'll be back next Wednesday, picking up right here in Revelation chapter 4. Good night, everybody.
Good night.